The morning, I just woke up 5 minutes ago. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm visiting friends in Michigan for Christmas.
All right, sounds cool. So is there snow in Michigan? I guess so.
Yes, there is, yep. So everywhere in the north of the states, and obviously in Canada where I've moved back to Montreal, and I just left Montreal 2 days ago, and there was 5 feet of snow everywhere.
Oh God.
Terrible.
So, has it been a busy year for you?
It's only begun to be busy in the past month, actually. No, I had a very slow year preparing the release of this album. Last year was a more intense year, because last year is when I recorded the album, and then this year has been all red tape and like logistical things of getting the record label in place and mixing and mastering the album and doing the artwork and the video and now beginning to do promotion. But it's been a little slow. I'm very, very excited for 2004 to be much more active, actually. So I'm preparing with doing this interview with you and starting this promotion is making it so that I can have a very busy 2004.
Yeah, it sounds so. I understood that the material on the album goes a long way back, and you started recording the album as early as in 2001. So why do you think it has taken you this long to finish your solo album?
Well, it's. I think it's because I wanted to take my time. I mean, 2001, in fact, I took most of 2001 off as a almost vacation, because I had been on I went straight from Hole into the Smashing Pumpkins, and I went I toured Celebrity Skin straight into a year of touring with the Smashing Pumpkins. So I had been on the road for 2 years straight, and so when 2001 began, I promised myself to take some time off from commitments to music, and I kept myself busy by doing working on some of my photography, and I had some photo exhibits, and I really wanted to just live life and sort of let go of music a little bit, because music had become such a structure in my life. You know, the years of being in a hole, and then it's a very different reality than making music just for the fun of making music. You know, it becomes very much like a full-time. There's a lot of demands and responsibilities, as well as just expectations from record labels or managements or whatever it was. And I wanted to clear my life of that entirely. So I wanted to let music exist naturally and freely in my life again. And so when I began to record this record, at the end of 2001, I started recording some demos. Most of the songs had already been written throughout the years before, but I started to really focus on which songs I wanted to record for my album. But the actual recording of my album took place in 2002, but because I had decided to self-finance it and produce it myself and organize the whole thing, I didn't want any management or any record labels or anything. It was sort of like a slow, you know, it was up to me to organize, you know, where the cheapest studio was, who the engineer was going to be, and whether he was available. And so I did it throughout, you know, little periods of time of 2002, like a week here, a week there. There was one good chunk, all of the month of June of 2002, I spent in California at a studio and did the majority of the record there. But there was a lot of, like, follow-up, like, you know, a week here, a week there. So mainly, the reason why it took a long time is I wanted to give myself the freedom, and I didn't want any demands. I wasn't making this record to get out into the marketplace and go on tour. I was making the record to make my dream record and to explore my relationship with music in a very, very new way. So I wanted to take my time. But then it was done by the end of last year, and then this year was the year that sort of things took a little bit slower than I wanted to, which is that this is when I went and found a record label and decided, you know, how will I get this out into the hands of the music lovers.
When the Smashing Pumpkins split up, did you at any point even think of, you know, quitting music altogether and becoming, for example, a professional photographer?
Yes, I almost did, definitely. It was interesting. I was so almost confused about music at that point, because when I left Hole in 1999, I was very excited to make a solo record then, And then fate had it that a week after I left Hold, Darcy left the Pumpkins, and Billy called me, and as a big Pumpkins fan, I felt I absolutely had to say yes. But at that point, it had made it 6 years that I was playing in other people's bands and supporting other people's things, and music had become such a, like I said, almost like a job. It was a very strange reality, and I basically, yes, was considering leaving music. I always knew I would make music, but I didn't know whether I would actually go as far as making an album that I would try to release. I wanted to let music tell me what to do. I let it go to see whether it would make sense for me to get serious again with it. And with time, especially 9-10 months after being off tour and being very away from music, I realized that I had to get back to music because it's what moves me the most. But it was an interesting time, yes, where I didn't know what I was going to do with music in my life.
So do you think singing with Hand of Doom made the singing any easier?
It's funny. Yes, absolutely. I mean, Hand of Doom only existed for about 3 weeks, and we played 6 shows. But it was very light. That was part of my year off, my 2001, where I didn't really know what I was going to do. And I did a couple of strange sort of like lighthearted things like that, like where I just sort of didn't want to take music so seriously. And I just wanted to sort of like have fun with it and not have any big commitments or any stress. And those are all my friends in that band were all, none of them were actually working musicians. They're all like filmmakers, fashion, the clothing designers, a taxi cab driver. They're all people that like music. They wanted to just do it for fun. And it was so refreshing to just sort of play in a small, tiny rehearsal space in New York City with just people who wanted to be around music, you know, after their day jobs were done. So they had just called me and said they wanted to start a Black Sabbath band. And I had been, in fact, strangely enough, in New York City karaokeing a lot that year. I had sort of like discovered the art of karaoke, and I'm a pretty shy person. It took me years and years and years to be able to feel comfortable with my voice, so it was actually a really cool sort of a breakthrough for me to be able to just sort of sing basically three-dimensional karaoke in front of a tiny little live club. Just you know, it was good for my just to sort of break the ice of like, well, you know, if one day I want to make my own record, I am going to have to sing lead, and I better just start now. And in fact, Ozzy's vocal range and vocal style is very, very, very natural for actually a woman to sing. And that was actually a big it was encouraging to sing that because I actually had never noticed how melodic Ozzy's vocals were because, again, like I'd mentioned earlier, because I sing, like I sang in choirs when I was a girl, and I don't want to scream. I love singing, and I didn't know whether I was ever going to be able to fit that over heavy rock music. And as soon as I sort of started dissecting Black Sabbath songs, I realized, oh, if I can do this, I can sing over my songs.
You mentioned the karaoke thing. So what are your karaoke favorite songs? What are you singing when you go to karaoke bar?
Favorite karaoke songs are 9 to 5 from a movie with Dolly Parton. I don't know if you remember that. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. That one's pretty good. Ironically, Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen, even though I'm born in Canada. But I often like to throw in there Born in Canada. And then Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.